How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
You are Locked On Lakers, your daily podcast on the Los Angeles Lakers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
And we're live. Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast live edition. I am here to recap the Lakers' loss to the Phoenix Suns tonight in the final preseason game. They lose by a final score of 98-94. They kind of battled back. They hung in there a bit, and then, you know, shots didn't fall. Randle missed two free throws at the very end of the game that would have tied the game, but really nobody wants overtime on the last game of the preseason. So, it's probably all for the best that he missed those. The Lakers, though, started slowly again. And Luke Walton, as told by Harrison Fagan, who was there at the game tonight, Luke Walton says that they have to figure something out with the starting unit. Lou Williams started again tonight. And Luol Deng did not start. You know, that's going to help the starting unit. Having any lineup with Nick Young and Lou Williams is probably not going to work out very well, especially against starting caliber players, no matter the team, really. The Suns aren't a bad team, you know, especially right now when everybody's still healthy. So you just can't have, you know, negative defenders like Young and Lou Williams. And then Zubats started tonight in Mozgov's place. So, you know, it was never going to go particularly well to start the game tonight. It'll be interesting to see how Walton handles the starting unit on Wednesday when the Lakers finally open their season. The big thing here is, outside of a couple, you know, bangs and bruises, the Lakers are healthy getting into the regular season. Finishing on a 6-game losing streak is not ideal by any stretch. But it's great that the Lakers are going to head into Wednesday, and Luol Deng, I would imagine, will try to give it a go. Jose Calderon will probably be back and ready. Timofey Mozgov's fall was pretty ugly, so it wouldn't shock me necessarily if he didn't play, but I don't think it's a kind of situation that's going to hold him out for a prolonged period of time. In terms of guys' individual efforts tonight, Nick Young kind of came back down to earth. Right, he goes 2-for-11 from the field, 2-of-8 from 3-point range, finishing with 8 points on those 11 shots. That's not what you want to see. But even with that said, it was nice to see him not let that affect how hard he was playing. Right, he finishes with 5 rebounds. He played some pretty good defense out there. I even saw him challenge Alex Len at the rim down the stretch in a pretty big play that kept the Lakers in it. So. It's great to see that hard work, even when the ball isn't going through the hoop. D'Angelo Russell struggled early on, and they made a couple shots at the down the stretch. But his line is pretty impressive: 17 points, 7 rebounds, 6 assists, 4 turnovers. A little high for anybody's liking, but honestly, the turnovers are going to be a constant theme this year. I promise. I'm going to get to your guys' questions here in a second. Also on the, something that sticks out is Brandon Ingram's play. After obviously easily his best game of the preseason so far, he kind of no-shows in this one. 2 points on 0-of-2 shooting from the field, obviously made both of his shots from the charity stripe. 3 rebounds, an assist, a steal. You know, that's not ideal. You know, but he's young, and this is the kind of stuff that you're going to see from young players. And he's especially young, even for a rookie. He's even more. Youth is going to be even more a factor with Brandon Ingram. So you're going to see the big games like you saw last game, and then tonight you saw what you know what else might be the norm with Ingram, and the norm meaning consistency. I'm not saying he's going to average 2 points and 3 rebounds a game this season. That's probably not going to happen. Larry Nance Jr. came out and played well. He kind of needed a little bit more active of a game. He was kind of fading into the background a bit. He finishes the night with 10 points and 9 rebounds. Again, the big thing with him and Randall is because you have two quality players in those guys, if one doesn't necessarily have it, you can stick the other one in. If they both have it, like tonight, they both played pretty well. You know, Randall finishes with 15 points, 8 rebounds, 2 assists, and a steal. So if they're both having it, then you try to dole out their minutes accordingly. But if one doesn't have it, you kind of stick with the one who does. And that's the nice thing depth has to offer. Speaking of depth, and I promise I'm going to get some of... Well, here we go. Eric Flynn's comment just now was, cut ye. All right, I'm going to break this down as quickly as I possibly can. And I'm going to avoid salary numbers because really nobody wants to hear about salary numbers. The claim for Robinson is that he has earned his spot on the court, you know, with his play, right? For Thomas Robinson, he's worked hard. He's made hustle play after hustle play. He's made the most, I would say, of his opportunity than any of those three guys, meaning Thomas Robinson, Ron Artest, Metta World Peace, and E.G. on Leon. Metta World Peace doesn't even get in the game today, and this comes on the same day that we started hearing rumors about him potentially being an assistant coach. If he doesn't make the roster, which I'd be fine with. There's plenty to like about his mentality and his ability to mentor kids. So if he does decide to hop on the bench with the Lakers, then I think the kids would stand a benefit. But if he remains on the team over Yee and over Thomas Robinson, I legitimately would not be able to explain it to anybody. Yee's case is pretty simple. His contract is such that he provides immediate salary relief to any team that acquires him. Right, or he is salary relief for the Lakers too. If the Lakers decide to keep him, and things just don't work out in the season, they could cut him with hardly any guaranteed money. I think it's $250,000 to start in terms of guaranteed money, and then the contract can be worth as much as $8 million, which can be stretched into $12 million in a trade, depending on the team that they're trading with. So when you're looking at the Lakers' history, what they have done or what they have preferred to do is keep 14 guys on their roster so that 15th spot can be used to be flexible with you know, any kind of maneuverability over the course of a season. If they want to bring somebody up, they can bring somebody up. If they want to make a trade where they offer, you know, one player for two guys in return, they can do that. And basically, having Yee on the roster is the closest thing you're going to get to having an unfilled roster spot with actually having somebody on their roster as you're going to get. So I hope that makes sense. If they keep Yee, I'm almost positive it's purely a business decision. You can't make the case that he deserves it over Robinson on the court, unless you think his three-point shot is going to turn around. He made a shot. He made a three tonight, going 1 for 2, and it was nice to see him actually get behind the three-point line tonight, to his credit. But in terms of actually trying to explain it from a basketball perspective, it's hard to sell anybody on E.G. on Leon over Thomas Robinson. So that's my rambling there. Let me get to a few of your questions before we get out of here. Scrolling all the way to the top. All right. So, our own editor, it asks, how afraid were you for Jared Dudley's life when Randle was about to demolish him on a scale of 1 to 10? I wasn't particularly scared because I'm not the biggest Jared Dudley fan. So, I was much more scared for Alex Len when Larry Nance Jr. and Thomas Robinson decided to take turns trying to end his livelihood. All right. Emmanuel, broke out. Eric Young says, Nick Young, a negative defender. He's been playing more defense than he ever has, LOL. I could use bigger words than I ever have before, but that doesn't mean I'm going to win a Pulitzer Prize. So that's kind of how that works. Emmanuel Davis says, what are the pros and cons of tonight's game in your opinion against the Suns? I pretty much gave them. They look good in some stretches, and this is how it's going to go for the entirety of this year. The Lakers are going to look good for some stretches. They're going to look not so good for some stretches. It's about combining those good stretches as often as you can and getting as many minimal, you know, learning as many meaningful lessons from playing as you possibly can over the course of this NBA season. Javier Tovar says Randle and trash. I disagree. Eric Floon says Zubats is good. I agree. He's just really young. You aren't going to see him very much this year. Mark Klingsborn, why are you stuck in the corner of the closet? I actually went to Harry Potter World today, and I decided I was going to record from his hole under the closet that he lived in. He's right back here. Big Laker fan, turns out. Crazy. Miguel Valenzuela, Nick Young should still start over Lou Williams, better defender. I agree. Nick Young's ability on both ends of the court has made it to where Lou Williams can be traded yesterday, basically, for the Lakers. There really is no use to having a need for Lou Williams on this team. And some team out there is going to give up something for Lou because he is an efficient scorer for your, you know, compared to your typical chucker. And you know, look at half the Eastern Conference playoffs. They could all use another scorer. Just go through all the rosters and try to find a trade that works. Jacob Rude put together a nice article about that on Lakers Outsiders. Check that out. Next question. Yeah, that's about it. That I can see. Do you think we should trade Randle? Asks Freddie. Get right Henderson. No, it's so young in his career. Look, just because there might be a clash for minutes with another player doesn't necessarily mean one of those guys has to go. It's when that clash for minutes pushes one guy out of the rotation. So and neither Nance nor Russell have done that to each other. Both guys deserve spots on the roster. Both guys deserve spots in the rotation. Both guys offer different things on the court. The issue with Nick Young and Lou Williams is that they offer much of the same stuff. It just so happens that Nick Young decided he was going to start playing defense this year, which makes Lou Williams not really all that necessary because he doesn't play very good defense. Starboy KP asks, who won? The wrong team. The wrong team won, Starboy. Gary Stanford, how long before B.I. takes over the starting small forward spot? Probably next year, if that. He's really young, and he's really, I wouldn't say raw in terms of skill, but I would say he's raw in terms of personal development. He's extremely skinny. He gets pushed off his spot. He's still learning how to be physical in the NBA. You have to remember, if he's playing against somebody who might be, you know, it's somebody who's played in the NBA for 6-7 years, that's 6-7 years of additional development that person's had over Brandon Ingram. And that's 6-7 years worth of reps of playing in the NBA style physicality that Brandon Ingram does not have. So as of right now, when he looks good, he's going to look good. But when he gets pushed off a spot and it gets, you know, and the game gets a little extra physical like that, he's going to struggle. And that's what you saw a little bit tonight against somebody like Jared Dudley, who basically knows every trick in the book when it comes to being successful in the NBA as a small forward or whatever. He's a really heady player. I'm not really thrilled with the stuff he says off the court about other players, but in terms of what Jared Dudley does on the court, that's the kind of guy Brandon Ingram is going to struggle against. Alton Salgado. Now that preseason is over, how many games do you think the Lakers will win? Anywhere from 23 to 30. If they're in that range right there, it was a good season. They won 17 last year, and a 7 to 10 to 13 game jump is pretty impressive for any team. But the biggest thing is the Lakers' development across the board is way more important than any, you know, win total they might amass. I can't say that enough. I can't repeat that enough. I can't stress it enough. It's about development, not wins. Gaggy Gill, what lineup would you prefer on the first unit? I'd still like to see Clarkson in there, but if he isn't going to be in there, then it's pretty straightforward. Russell, Young, Dang, Randall, and Mozgov. And then, you know, they'll tweak it every so often when they have to. So, here's the thing. I don't care who starts. I care who plays well together. And I care who plays well together in minutes that matter. I hope that makes sense to everybody. Last couple questions before we get up out of here. Jamie and Fuego, you're watching the wrong stream. I'm sure, like, Silver or Suns Nation has a live stream or a conversation going after their game. Ben Mehta, do you think Huerta's handling the ball with the second unit took away Ingram's advantage that he showed last game? No, look, Ingram is, there are other explanations for it, but the number one reason Ingram is going to be inconsistent is his youth, and that's what you're going to deal with. It doesn't really necessarily matter who else is with him back there. It matters, you know, how well he can prepare himself day in, day out, and how well he handles being in the NBA. Look, for most of these guys, a typical regular season is about 25, 30, maybe 40 games or so, depending on which college they went to and how lucky they got in the tournament. The Lakers are going to play double that easily, right? 82 games. And that's why rookies tend to struggle as the year goes on. All right, last question here, Cole Jati. What do you think of Russell versus Booker today? And going forward, who will shine brighter? Excuse me. I like Russell's potential more because of the position he plays. Point guards have higher ceilings than shooting guards. That said, I can't wait till they're teammates because I'm looking forward to watching both guys grow. I like Booker's game a lot. I thought he was quiet. It was nice to see Jordan Clarkson kind of lock him down a bit tonight. I'm not saying that's what you're going to see every single game from Clarkson or Booker. There are going to be some nights where Booker gets the upper hand over whoever he's going against. But tonight it looked like Clarkson frustrated him a bit. Defensively, and that's what you want to see. That's what Clarkson has to do if he wants to get meaningful minutes. He has to be a really good defensive player to help, you know, lift some of the burden from D'Angelo Russell's plate. That does it tonight. That does it for tonight. Again, the Lakers lose 98-94. You can follow all our shows. This is going to be downloaded and then uploaded again to our podcast stream. You can find those on Audio Boom, iTunes, Silver Screen and Roll, TuneIn, Stitcher, and today's Fast Break. Make sure you're using the promo code LOLakers on both Mac Weldon and SeatGeek. And I will talk to everybody again, or we will talk to everybody again on Monday as we get nearer to the regular season. I would imagine we're going to have plenty to talk about regarding the Lakers' decisions with how they're going to handle their roster. Have a great weekend, everybody.